When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's going on? You're listening to the Film Drunk Broadcast, coming at you not live, all over your front quarters. I'm Vince Mancini, and I am joined, as always, by my co-host, the irregular regular, Mr. Matt Lieb.
One lump, one bum, let's get together and eat some ass. What's up, everybody? It's me, Matt Lieb.
Very nice.
Yeah.
That was reggae.
Yeah, it's Bob Marley. Mm-hmm. It's a great reggae artist of our time. Sadly, he died from foot cancer or
wasn't
something.
Wasn't it throat cancer?
Didn't he have cancer on his foot at first, and then he like didn't get it treated, and it became other cancers?
Oh yeah, and it goes straight to your throat. That always happens.
Yeah, foot and mouth cancer. I think I heard that when I was like in high school or something. And you know, they're like little bits of trivia that are from high school that you're just like, yeah, that sounds right, and then you just move on and never question it. Like Rod Stewart getting his stomach pumped of cum.
Marley was diagnosed with a type of malignant melanoma under a toenail. Contrary to urban legend, this lesion was not primarily caused by an injury during a football match.
I remember hearing that too.
Yeah. Melanoma. Huh. I thought it was throat cancer from all the weed, but maybe
they just... How did you get that under your toenail? Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I don't know. And our guest today... You know her, and you love her. She is a broadcast favorite. Jessica Seeley is here.
I'm really worried now because I always wear toenail polish to hide what's under, but maybe what I'm hiding under could
is
be
cancer.
A problem.
No, you is need cancer. The you need the fungus to eat the cancer, like penicillin.
Mm. Well, that I have.
Oh, well, there you go. Unlike other melanomas, usually on skin exposed to the sun, acral lentiginous melanoma occurs in places that are easy to miss, such as the soles of the feet or under the toenails. Although it is the most common melanoma in people with dark skin, it is not widely recognized and was not mentioned in the most popular medical textbook of the time.
Jesus.
Dang, dude. Dang.
Well, that makes me worried because I got weird feet, man. I mean, I don't have lesions or nothing, but there's like little parts on it that I'm like, what's that? And I'm just like, it's probably nothing. And now I'm like, it's cancer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I go to the dermatologist like constantly, basically.
Oh,
and be like,
nice.
this has got to be weird, right? And she's like, I mean, it's ugly, but it's fine.
Yeah. I feel like that's what dermatologists always do, where I go and I'm like, hey, what's the deal with this? Is this bad? Am I like, can you remove this? And they're like, nah, you're just like getting old. That's like a thing that people get when old. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool.
I have literal barnacles. Like I'm a
Me too. Yeah, I have a skin tag.
I get skin tags. I think they're called like port wine. No, that's the, anyway, there's like these little dots on my scalp that the fucking.
You get wine dots on your scalp?
I forget what they're
so
called.
Italian.
They have like a food name. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They have a food name.
I have a food name. I've got, I don't think it's bright enough in here to show you guys. I have too much glorious hair, but I've got a bright red bump on my head that's called a cherry angioma. And I like to think of it as the little cherry on top of my sundae.
Yeah, maybe Aww. That's what I have. I think that's what I have too. Like the when the hairdresser like runs a comb through it, do they nick it Ooh. Sometimes and have it bleed? Oof.
So if you want, you can say to the dermatologist, my hairdresser's nicking it and it's causing pain. Can you take it off? And insurance should cover that.
Hmm.
I should do that. Not, but like with, I have various moles now that I'm just like, they're always like, see if it's a different size. And I'm like, I don't know if the mole on my back is bigger or not. I have to have Dude, like Francesca yeah. measure it.
What do you
know?
Just draw.
You know.
Just draw on it with like one of those fine pointed Sharpies and just like draw the outline. And then
just
if
get
the
a tattoo,
yeah, get a permanent tattoo. And then if it gets bigger than the tattoo, then you know you're fucked.
Damn.
Dude, one time I had MRSA on my butt and
my brother had that.
They kept on his butt.
Yeah. On his
like
butt.
MRSA or just staph?
Well, it was antibiotic resistant.
Okay.
So that's MRSA. And they had to keep, I had it for like months and months. They kept trying to get rid of it. And there was just constant pen drawings around where it was.
Oh, wow.
It looked like a bullseye on your butt.
Yeah.
I had to go to the hospital for a staph infection like 5 years ago. And then when I was, so I had a staph infection in my knee. And I stayed in the hospital overnight while they gave me all the drugs for it.
Hell yeah.
And then all the skin peeled off my leg. It was pretty cool. So then I went back like a week later for a follow-up. I was still on crutches. And this is when I was living in San Francisco. And so I was in the back of an Uber. And it was kind of a smaller one. And since I couldn't bend my left leg, I had to just like sit sideways across the back seat without a seatbelt on. And my Uber driver was like getting flustered looking for the hospital because I guess, I mean, it's a little hard to find, but whatever. So she's on Geary and she's
like, you're a driver, you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, use your phone.
A taxi driver could find this, no problem.
Right. But we disrupted that.
You either want to do this job or you don't want to do this job.
Yeah.
Figure it out.
This is before Biden's giveaway to fucking irresponsible college students.
Millennials quiet quitting by not knowing where hospitals
are. She was quiet.
I do kind of hate it when an Uber driver is telling me they're confused and they're like, "Where? I don't know where to go." And I'm like, I mean, I'm paying you. I don't know why you're asking me.
You're supposed to be the expert here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or it's like when, checkout baggers are like, how many bags do you want? I'm like, I don't know, dude. I can't like fucking.
What's your system?
What do I? You think I can just eyeball groceries and tell you how many bags it needs? That's what you guys do. So anyway, she's getting flustered, and then she busts a left on Geary, and right in front of a car, fucking smashes into a car. I like my face hits the back of the headrest. I split my lip open. But the best part was like, there's this huge accident, you know, in the middle of Geary, which is like where a lot of businesses and stuff are.
Sure.
So people are coming out of businesses to like see what happened.
I love that.
And
what's going on? How could this be?
Yeah. And so I pop out of the Uber and I'm on crutches, cause I was going to the hospital for my knee, and everybody's confused about how like I was on crutches already.
Like you were just a scammer. Look how injured I am from this accident.
Or that like I hopped into a time warp and things were like happening in reverse or some shit.
Like a really dumb scammer.
Yeah. Like, I love it.
Immediately.
Yeah.
You come out of the car with a neck brace already.
Yeah, full body cast on, and you're just like, police. Yeah.
And then the driver was like, she was trying to do the thing where you blame the other person for an accident that's very obviously your fault. Where she's like,
oh, yeah.
You were going so fast. He was going so fast. Wasn't he going fast? And I was like, I'm out of here. And I was just hobbled off on the crutches.
Tell us the State Farm. I don't care.
Yeah. Tell Chris Paul about this. Not my problem.
Go to the hospital for two things now. So,
Flo from Progressive, who I heard is a huge biatch, according to TikTok.
Really?
Oh, is she really?
Now, when I watch Progressive commercials, I'm like, God, that Flo's a bitch.
What did she do?
Did TikTok cancel Flo? What happened to Flo?
Yeah, well, she was like ordering tacos from this guy working at a taco stand. Uh-huh. She wouldn't even talk to him. She kept having her assistant talked to him and was like, and I guess like the guy who was making the TikTok was like, do you want like salsa, whatever, you know? And
there's video of this?
No, but he was talking about it because there was a trend that was like, who has treated you the worst?
Whatever.
One of them was Flo.
But, you know, we don't know if that's true, but that would be a really weird one to make up and try to drag.
Yeah. To be fair to Flo, like, she lives in a gilded prison. Like, she does.
I know.
She has the best, worst job in the world, which is that you're completely rich for working probably like 3 days a year, which is awesome. But you also are like trapped in a job where you're guaranteed to have nothing but people saying the dumbest shit in the world to you every day and every time you go outside.
And she's like, literally, I studied Shakespeare.
Yeah.
She's contractually obligated not to do other jobs. Like, I think someone said they saw her in an independent film a few years ago, and I was like, oh, good for her, because you've just just a little bit of daylight in that fucking gilded prison.
Yeah, most of the time they are contractually barred from doing other jobs.
Because they become like the face of the company, and they're like, listen, we'll pay you a fuck ton of money to not work. And while that does sound like dope to a regular person, if you're actually in that situation, I'm sure it's a kind of a nightmare, because it's just
you just want to be like,
hey, it's Flo, you're famous for like selling insurance.
You just want to be like drunk in Golden Gate Park, and then every time you do, someone takes a fucking cell phone video and then like tag tweets Progressive being like, is this you?
Yeah. And it just also, and it's not like you have like you know, when you're old and sick and dying on your deathbed, it's not like you have like a body of work to look back on and be like, no. Oh, I made a lot of art in my day, and so, you know, it's just like,
well, that's the thing, is there's no point to being like an actor or whatever if it's not going to be fulfilling in any way.
Right.
Like, the whole reason we choose this lifestyle is we're like, we're going to give up, you know, like
all the things,
stability, insurance, like all this stuff,
emotional
like
wellness,
paid off student loans.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm just like, if I'm going to do that, why not just be an accountant or whatever?
It really is the ultimate monkey's paw situation. You know, like that's something where,
well, are you still allowed to say that?
You can say monkey's paw.
No, I'm just kidding. That's
it. All right. Are you dumb?
I don't know what that is.
Oh, the monkey's paw is like a short, scary story about like you wish on the monkey's paw. And it's like a be careful what you wish for type thing. You wish for
one thing.
It feels
a little otherizing. Like, monkeys clearly have hands. Like, it's not a paw. It's not like
that's
they
actually
have
a good point. And I never thought about that. So maybe we should cancel monkey's paw. But
yeah, it's
while
a monkey's
it's
hand.
Uncanceled, it's a monkey's hand. But basically it's like you make a wish, and then the monkey's paws lawyers are like, I found the loophole.
Yeah, the mischievous little monkey. He's like, I tricked you.
Yeah, exactly. So like you get your wish comes true, but in the worst way possible. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the situation with any actor who becomes like the flow of the, you know, the whatever industry they're shilling for, because yeah, that's it. It's like she probably wished on a monkey's paw, I want to be a famous actor, and she got it. But
why are
Flow commercials?
Insurance commercials always the worst. Like, they're easily the worst genre of commercial.
Geico's not bad sometimes.
Oh.
The one with Kevin Kamiya is funny.
Which
yeah,
one?
That one's good.
There's one with Kevin Kamiya where they're
the one on the boat.
They're in like an Arctic thing, and like an Arctic study room, and they can't go outside because it's the Arctic. But someone's singing karaoke, and Kevin just like starts walking out into the snow, and they're like, Kevin, don't, no.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean,
the Geico ones I like, but Jake from State Farm to me is really just like, what? We put a red shirt on someone and that's the end.
Yeah. It's better than is it State Farm? And there's just like a handsome guy who's their spokesperson now, and he's sort of like completely bland in every way, except he's just like a nice guy,
I
guess.
Mind,
I don't know. At least Flo's got a shtick, is what I'm saying.
I don't really mind the serious one that's like, which I think is it family? It's a family thing.
I don't know that one.
Really heartfelt. It's like,
are you in good hands?
Yeah.
Nationwide?
Mm.
Wait, which is the...
I think
doesn't matter.
But it's kind of like, oh, this feels like they really care.
They're like, oh, your dad's nice. Dying of cancer. Good thing he has insurance.
Good thing he has Snoopy insurance, whatever
that
is.
And I'm like crying.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, in terms of actors who are like definitely wished on the monkey's paw, John Wilkes Booth, I think number one.
No, because
he's
dude.
Like, he
was
wished
he
on the monkey's paw. Yeah, it's like,
he,
I'd like
not
to be
only
the
was
famous.
He an actor, he was like a famous actor. He was like if Johnny Depp before he beat up Amber Heard, like just shot the president one
but
day.
But then if John Wilkes Booth then sued Abraham's wife.
Mm-hmm.
For defamation.
If only.
Just suing. What is her name? Mary Todd? Suing Mary Todd. Yeah. Just be like, first of all, she crazy. Okay.
Yeah.
Which you is get true, all of-
she pooped on the floor.
Yeah, I know. Did shoot her.
She pooped on the floor one time.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's make some memes about how she pooped herself.
Yeah. It sucks being a mentally ill woman because it's like you poop on the floor one time and then anyone can do anything to you for the rest of your life.
Right. Yeah, like if I cut hair like... one time, I'm not a barber, but suddenly I shit on the floor once and I'm floor shitter for the rest of my life.
Yeah. I can't write Love Me in Blood on a mirror one time without people thinking I'm a weirdo. Come
Dude,
on.
Johnny was the one to do that, I thought.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, it sounds more like a Johnny thing.
It does.
He said, because something about how she did something that cut his finger and it was bleeding profusely.
Right.
She hit him with a vodka bottle, wasted, supposedly, so or a pint glass or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then he was like, and then I was putting my blood on the wall so she could see what she did or something. And I was like, wow, you sound really normal as well.
I drew a swastika on the wall so that she could... see that what she was doing to me was like what the Nazis did to the Jews.
Yeah, maybe she would recognize the horrors of the Third Reich.
Yeah. So, anyways.
Yeah. Oh, well, gotta go.
You got any cocaine? Nope.
So, you know, speaking of people getting dragged on TikTok, we did have a follow-up from last week. So we talked about the New York Times film critic who panned Bodies, Bodies, Bodies and like mentioned offhand something about it being an advertisement for cleavage.
Right. There were too many boobies, 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 and bodies, bodies, bodies.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. And so she immediately posted the DM from, she got a DM from Amanda Stenberg, who's in the movie and apparently showing off her cleavage. And she posted it, you know, she wanted to make it like a teachable moment. Like how dare someone with this kind of social power try to use it against me?
Right.
Then it was a DM, though.
Yeah, exactly. That doesn't really apply because you posted the DM, not her. Like,
exactly.
If anyone's invoking social power here, it was you.
It is 100% you. Yeah. And what she wrote was like, maybe if you spent less time looking at my cleavage or something like that.
It was a shitty DM, but who cares?
Yeah. It was something where it was just like, it was a butthurt actor who hates, you know, the review, which is like a thing that happens sometimes.
Yeah, it was not as threatening as some DMs that film critics may or may not have gotten from famous people. But so anyway, people then found this awesome TikTok from that from
well,
that
well
critic.
Then, but we need to mention then when she posted the DM, she said... that what did she say? The massage or the homophobia is coming from inside
the
house.
Yeah,
claiming that Amanda's comment about her enjoying breasts was coming from a place of homophobia rather than a place of like calling out kind of a misogynistic take.
Yeah, it was a lesbian on lesbian pissing contest, but I don't think the fact that either of them being lesbian had anything to do with
the
pissing contest.
Wait, are they both? Amanda is also gay.
Yes, I believe so, or bi or something.
Wow. Okay.
Wow.
So this film reviewer posted a TikTok?
Yes. Well, I think this is an old TikTok. I think she's like sort of a semi-prolific TikToker.
Oh God.
Uh-huh. So this is her.
That make me particularly well suited for this line of work. The second part is all the things I've done to get where I am, which might be slightly more replicable for you guys. Part one, those four things. Number one, and perhaps the most crucial thing, is that I'm a very talented writer and I'm particularly skilled in the art of cultural criticism. This is not a flex. My therapist will be gobsmacked that I said something so self-affirming in such a public venue. However, I think that we all just have to accept at this point that it is true. I come from a family of writers. I'm a reader. Writing has come naturally to me for my entire life.
I've
received awards and praise and other forms of success for it.
My mommy and daddy love me and say I'm very talented, special girl. Oh my God.
Arts criticism is a very particular form of writing that I seem to just be naturally good at. It is an art form just like screenwriting and poetry writing, two kinds of writing that I cannot do to save my fucking life are art forms. And I have never received any kind of formal schooling in arts criticism, but here I am. Again, not a flex, just a fact. The first thing I ever wrote for the New York Times, I wrote at 24 years old. It was barely edited, and it made the front page of the culture section. So,
oh my God.
That's what I'm
oh
working
my
with.
God.
The second thing, which is also really important for arts criticism, is that I have a point of view. Arts criticism is not about saying whether something is good or it's bad. You should watch it or you shouldn't watch it. It is about having something to say. It's very possible you followed me or found this page because you think I have something interesting to say.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Damn, that's crazy. Something to say?
Yeah.
Right, you're telling me, hold on. You're telling me that an opinion is about when you have a viewpoint about a thing that you saw or read or listened to? Dude, this is like, you can tell she didn't go to school.
Here's what I heard.
Yeah.
I'm very privileged. I come from a very privileged place. I have done a lot of therapy to affirm my stuff. Here's my work in therapy. You're welcome. And it's like, yeah, do affirm yourself, but like
not in a front-facing video that you
put
on.
Yeah, not publicly. And that is, it's so clear because that this is, that like, I'm sure this came out before this whole thing happened, but it probably came from a place of, like, some commenter who was just like, you're not that great.
Yeah.
And she's like, actually, I'm pretty fucking amazing.
I think the lesson here is don't make clapping back at your haters your entire personality.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God, yes. If there's ever a lesson to be learned from this infuriating video.
I mean, I said there wasn't a teachable moment here, but maybe there actually is.
There's one.
There's
a single teachable moment.
Yeah.
I love that. It, like,
she,
she's literally...
Her whole affect reminds me of Alton Brown from Food Network and why I fucking hate Alton Brown. Alton Brown just reminds me of a nerd who discovered cocaine, which is like the worst combination, where it's like he has some important things to say, but he's just like, he's sort of just like motor mouthed reciting it to me with like a completely flat affect, where I'm like, something's wrong with you. Why are you doing this? Why have you cornered me like this?
Just the worst guy at a party telling you about a recipe.
I sent this to one of my editor and we were both like, this is exactly why I moved out of Brooklyn. And it's
totally.
Yeah. It's like, you think you're going to go and it's going to be, oh, cool. It's going to be a bunch of other, you know, like professional intellectuals and fellow writers. We're going to be among my people. And then you realize, I'm terrible. We're all really bad. I don't want to ever hang out with myself.
Yeah. Being among your people is possibly the worst thing you could choose to do in your life.
Yes.
Just like, it's like every time I, you know, do a comedy show and I'm like, me and comedians. And then like just hanging in the green room with people. And I go like, we're all degenerates. We're all bad. We have bad brains, and we talk about our bad brains on stage.
We do.
That's not.
We do bits to each other.
Yeah, it's. I mean, but this is like a particular type of intellectual, or it's like a vein or like a genre of like TikTok people, in which like the whole thing is like, wow, it's really brave of you to put yourself out there and say you're fucking awesome. And talk about all the cool shit you did and how you're just naturally gifted at stuff.
I think social media sort of turned us all into Donald Trump a little bit. Like,
yes.
Where Donald Trump's like, if they can do this to me, if they can accuse me of selling nuclear technology to the Saudis, they could do it to you. And it's like, I don't think so. You're not always like the perfect stand-in for society.
Oh God!
I have a thesis. Social media is not good.
Right,
I agree.
Yeah, no.
I agree completely. I mean, I just like I noticed this. I think there's too many people, I think, who think they're stand-ins for the rest of society. They think they are a relatable human being. Mm-hmm. But they
that
are just
your
like
struggle
a more...
with some hater who told you you suck is right. is everyone's struggle.
Yeah, like we've all been there, and this is bigger than just me and this hater. This is a societal issue in which people are hating on all of us for being mm-hmm. awesome. And I mean, that's like a lot of people think they are like, I am the representative of everybody of America or everybody in this like particular, you know, type or class of people. And like social media has just like backed that up to the point where I like the response among what I would consider like normies about the $10,000 student debt relief thing has been so funny. Because you just see like regular kind of non-political people who all feel like they have are entitled to an opinion about it are all just at the same time being like, oh, well, have you considered paying your own bills like I did? How about that? I'm everyone. And I'm just like, God damn, these fucking people.
It's great because it puts them in a position to like humble brag about shit that no one in the world cares about. Like,
right. Yeah.
I lived in a van down by the river and ate ramen noodles while you were out eating avocado toast and riding around to bike parties with your friends. And it's like,
sounds
cool,
like
loser.
Suck a and dick. You probably need to go to the doctor. Because avocados have a ton of potassium more than mm-hmm. top ramen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very healthy for you.
It sucks when society has winners and losers, doesn't it?
God. But yeah, it's just like, oh, this woman in particular is like just, she's grating because she reminds me of what I think whenever I read an op-ed or any arts criticism, anything coming from the New York Times or the New Yorker, I'm like, this is the person who writes it. And I don't want to support this. That's how I feel.
It's like that internal voice when you try to convince yourself why you like don't have imposter syndrome or whatever,
right.
But you don't have to tell that to other
don't
people.
Do it out
that's
loud.
That's for you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just I don't know. I find it distasteful when
mm-hmm,
people.
Mm-hmm. It's very crass.
Are very braggy about the fact that both their parents are writers and therefore they have natural
right. Yeah,
ability
like shut the fuck.
To
it's weird
look
to,
at art.
It's weird to like sort of brag about not having formal schooling in arts criticism in the same breath as you say that your
yeah.
parents are both writers. Like, okay, what are we?
Yeah, what am so I supposed
you,
to take from
yeah,
that?
Yeah, do you want credit for being self-made and being a like and being having a pedigree at the same time? How's that possible?
I think it's someone who's just like, it's genetic as to why I'm so talented at telling you
mm-hmm.
that fucking
bodies is
bodies,
bullshit.
Bodies got too many titties. It's
too many tits
insane.
Is not quite the art that I'm
yes.
looking for.
Yes.
Slightly less tits and a little more ass, I think, yeah. would be the order of the day.
A ratio of equal parts tit and ass would be preferable to me, personally. I give this 3 out of 5 stars.
Everybody knows the taste is in the ass.
Just the idea of like taking
I give
criticism.
This a C+, far below my own grade point average when I was at Smith.
And just never brag about your parents making a special little boy or girl.
Yeah, don't you brag know? About your parents in general, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know what, guys? That's not the only news out there. We also got some cool news.
What else are you gonna annoy me with?
No, yeah. Well, supposedly Sylvester Stallone. There was a story that his 25-year marriage was ending because he wanted to get a dog and his wife didn't want him to get a dog.
Damn, that okay.
Yeah. Sylvester Stallone, and also he has a movie out this week, which makes me a little suspicious that...
Is it a movie about dogs? Or
no,
divorce?
It's not, but okay. But it does make me suspicious that like his,
that
it seems
like... That would be like you getting out of the car in crutches. Like if the yeah, movie yeah. was about dogs and divorce.
It makes me think he has like brilliant PR people where they're like, okay, he's got a movie coming out and he's also getting divorced. How can we spin this in like the coolest way ever?
It's like the best, the most wholesome divorce ever. Just like, yeah. I just love puppies.
Yeah, I just like doggy
people. I just wanted to get a puppy and this fucking bitch won't let me get a dog.
Yeah.
I'm deathly allergic.
I don't care, bitch. I'm Sylvester Stallone. If Rocky want a dog, he's going to get a dog.
Okay.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's me, Sylvester Stallone.
Oh, hey, what was it like when you made Rocky?
Oh, hey, yo. I was sitting in Zara Cafe, and I said, what if we did a script about box fight? So I did a box fighting script, and then I won an Academy Award, you know?
Sylvester Stallone denies he's getting divorced.
I'm still here.
Oh, hey, how's it going? I was just reading about you and your dog.
Oh, okay, continue.
Oh, all right. Sylvester Stallone denies... he's still here.
Oh, sorry.
He just do that involuntarily sometimes?
Yeah, yeah. Part, you know, I'm a method actor.
Was that part in the script?
No. I've just been yelling that since I was a baby. It's a tick. I have Tourette's syndrome. Adrian! Fuck.
Wow. There's like a fruit fly that's been hanging out in front of my face. And yeah. I feel like I'm just like coming to you guys from the insane asylum. And I'm like,
Renfield over here.
Gotta go.
Okay, news broke Wednesday that the Rocky star's wife, Jennifer Flavin Stallone, filed for divorce after 25 years.
Flavin! Sorry.
His marriage. One report claimed the couple had a blow-up over a Rottweiler he recently bought that she did not want to get, but Sly is denying it. We did not end the relationship on such a trivial argument, the actress told TMZ. While he admitted they disagreed over how to care for the dog, he said their issues ran deeper than the doggy Dwight.
Aw.
We just went in different directions, he said.
It's not your fault, Dwight.
Right. Yeah.
You did nothing wrong.
I have the highest respect for Jennifer. I will always love her, blah, blah, blah. Fueling rumors about the dog drama between the couple is the fact that Stallone recently covered a giant bicep tattoo he had of Jennifer's face with a tattoo of his old dog Butkus, a bull mastiff who appeared in Rocky and its sequel.
Oof. You see, this is why you don't get a tattoo of your wife when you are Sylvester Stallone. Mm-hmm.
But we got a totally plausible excuse alert coming up.
Oh, fun.
Just prior to the couple's divorce announcement, the star's rep denied they were experiencing marital turmoil. His publicist told the Daily Mail after the outlet posted photos showing Butkus's face on Sly's arm where Jennifer's once was, quote, Mr. Stallone intended to refresh the tattoo image of his wife, Jennifer. However, the results were unsatisfactory and unfortunately unfixable. Mr. Stallone loves his family. You know how sometimes you're trying to get your tattoo of your wife touched up, but then they mess it up and so you have to cover it with a dog?
Like, always happens to me, dude. That's like a regular occurrence. Like, you'd be surprised how often that happens. You're in the middle of getting your tattoo touched up of the one you love more than anything in the world. And then something, there's like a slip and then a dog is made. It's very easy to accidentally make a dog in a tattoo parlor. This is,
I mean, that's a good, that's a good cover up. I like just having a big tattoo of a dog more than getting Winona Forever changed to Wino Forever.
Yeah. True.
That was one part of the Johnny trial where it was like, he was like talking about his tattoo and she was like, what does that say? And then he was like, are you serious? And then he like got all mad and she was laughing because she like thought he was joking or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's like, this is not a joke.
Yeah. My Wino Forever tattoo is not meant to be laughed at.
It was like a really weird thing. And then everyone on the internet was just like, yeah, what a bitch. Who doesn't know about Wino Forever?
Yeah. Who doesn't think that's a completely serious tattoo you should never laugh at?
I just like that Stallone is somehow like uncancelable just because all his like weird sex scandals happened way before people like started paying attention to that stuff. And
yeah.
And like all his movies are kind of like reactionary fairy tales.
Right.
Yeah, and his brother's like a hardcore MAGA guy, and no one ever points it out. Frank Stallone is still my favorite social media follower.
He's a wonderful guy. You can tell.
He is like the ultimate boomer poster. Like, now he's doing front-facing videos in the car. Here's one of them.
This morning, I was amazed in New York of the low turnout of the Republican Party. That's really bad. You know, you want change, you talk about crime, you talk about this, New York City's falling apart, but you put someone like Jerry Nadler,
and even those that had an increase,
who's basically a toadstool, put him back in power. So if you want the same old,
very much driving.
And that goes for Los Angeles, very simple. You keep voting along party lines, and you will get the same thing you have now. Nothing will change. And I
like Frank Stallone because, I mean, like, it'd be so easy to feel compassion and pity for, like, a guy who's overshadowed by a more famous brother. But yeah,
Frank Stallone.
Yeah, but Frank Stallone's just like, nah, I'm going to be such a huge piece of shit that you could never, ever feel sorry for me in any situation.
Yeah, yeah. I like it. I like whenever there's just like a weird MAGA brother seems to be a thing that exists in like Hollywood. Just yeah. Like Randy Quaid, who's just like, you know, I'm going to be the uglier Quaid who really wants to, you know, put the Mexicans in cages, you know, or it makes you like really respect Clint Howard because he has every reason in the world to be a villain. And from all accounts, I could tell he's just a sweet, sweet, ugly man.
Yeah. It makes me wonder, like, when you have a MAGA brother, is it just that your brother has gone MAGA, or is it that you both have, and because the unfamous brother does not have to worry about getting like canceled or
right.
or blackballed or whatever, that they can right, say yeah. all the you things that maybe you secretly no want to?
You can't get canceled if no one has subscribed, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So you can just kind of like do your thing of, you know, having the most reactionary opinions possible, and you don't have to worry about not getting the movie. Whereas like Randy or Dennis Quaid or Sylvester Stallone, they're definitely like, I don't really talk about politics.
Yeah, you know, that's more the impression I get, where they're like, yeah, I don't talk about that stuff because I still have to work.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Well, good for Stallone and his wife, who is now a literal dog. And I hope it lasts a long time.
I mean, he got a Rottweiler named Dwight, who seems pretty cool.
Yeah, my Dwight.
Also, like, if you're that famous, what's the fight about the dog? Like, I get if you're, you know, living in a 2-bedroom apartment in L.A. and right. you get a dog that you aren't going to take good care of. But if you're Stallone and you're like, have a golf course in your backyard and you probably have like 6 houses, like,
right.
And you could hire a full-time guy who's like your dog, your dog nanny.
Maybe it was like an argument about discipline. Like, he was like, everyone yes. in my family spanks the dogs.
Yeah, right.
Listen, part of a dog's like training regimen is licking peanut butter out of my asshole. Yeah, and my wife,
you can't ask a dog not to be a dog.
Please stop putting peanut butter in your asshole and saying, licky Dwight, Dwight do licky lick. Because apparently she thought that it was wrong, but I haven't had a dog in the last 70 years that hasn't licked my asshole. And I'm not about to start now. All right? Me, yo.
Hey.
Hey, Adrian!
There he goes.
Peanut butter on my asshole!
Wouldn't it just be easier if you named the dog Adrian?
Yeah. But I already have 5 dogs named Adrian.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
At this point, I was like, I'm going to get a new one and call it Dwight. When you're gonna lick peanut butter on my asshole.
Why'd you name it Dwight?
Oh, because it rhymes with fight. I like fight movies. I won an Academy Award for make a movie about box fight.
Box fight, yeah.
Yeah. You ever watch box fight?
Yeah, that's one of my favorite movies.
Yeah. No, it's this type of sport.
Oh, okay. Oh, the sport.
Two box go in the ring and one man leaves.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Sounds good. I like when boxes, I like boxes in general.
You want to lick peanut butter on my ass?
Oh, no, thanks.
Jessica?
Oh, all right. She knows your name. That's cool. All
right. Hey, yo. Gotta, hey, yo.
Mm-hmm. Flat, 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 flat.
Is it
flat,
weird for you when Sylvester Stallone knows your name?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm surprised for sure.
Flat, 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 flat. I'm back. I'm just a big, I'm a big fan of your comedy, so you know, I just, I do know your name and stuff. So,
what's your favorite joke of mine?
Oh, I really like the one where you go on stage and you're just like, my pussy.
Everyone likes that one.
I like when you talk about your pussy because it reminds me of vaginas.
Your dog's pussy?
My dog's pussy, yep. Oh boy, gotta write another screenplay. Gotta, hey, yo!
Boy, he sounds, his speech is very slurred these days.
I think he had a stroke.
Oh, okay.
What else is in the news?
Summertime and the living is thirsty. Again. Once again, I've done that joke. And once again, it's a great joke.
Very funny, Matt.
Thank you.
But you're right. It is summer. And during the summer, I love to keep Fiji water on hand to keep my family and me hydrated and refreshed.
Here's the thing about Fiji water. It really is from the islands of Fiji.
You're a liar.
No, I swear to God, it actually is. Drop by drop, Fiji water collects in a sustainable, ancient, artesian aquifer 1,600 miles away from the nearest continent, protected and preserved naturally from external elements. But I'm always wondering, Vince, how does Fiji water taste so good?
That's such a good question. And the answer is that as the water filters through volcanic rock, it collects a unique profile of electrolytes and minerals, resulting in more than double the electrolytes as the other two top premium bottled water brands, giving Fiji water its signature soft, smooth taste. You know, yesterday I happened to take my son to California's largest water park, and you know, it's hot out, the sun's beating down, you're carrying a toddler around, you get thirsty.
Sure do.
And you know what I did?
What?
I reached a meaty paw out for that natural artesian spring water that comes only from Fiji.
That's right. That's right. And listen, I enjoy Fiji water on a hot day. I enjoy Fiji water on a cold day. I enjoy Fiji water on a medium day. Just basically whenever I'm thirsty, I reach for a nice bottle of Fiji water.
I know your mouth gets dry when you're trying to do those royalty freestyles sometimes.
It does. It does. I have a very dry mouth. People have commented on that. And I like to wet it with the Fiji water. And here's the thing, Vince. Unlike some other premium bottled water, Fiji water's electrolytes are 100% naturally occurring.
That's like the best kind of electrolytes. And this water even has a perfectly balanced pH of 7.7. Fiji water really is Earth's finest water. And since 2022, its 330 milliliter and 500 milliliter bottles have been produced in 100% recycled plastic. So you can feel proud of your choice in bottled water.
Get stocked up on Fiji water this summer and visit your local retailer to pick some up today for your next backyard party, beach or pool day, hike, or even your home office.
It's not just water, it's Fiji water.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, Go to BADLANDS ranch.com/save50 today. If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh, we have so much stuff in the news, Matt.
Oh, thank God.
For instance, Silicon Valley startup Sanas.
Sanas?
Mm-hmm. Or Sanus, I'm not sure.
Okay. Sanus? S-A-N-U-S?
S-A-N-A-S.
Ah, Sanus.
It's a palindrome.
Okay.
They have a lofty goal.
Make the brain into computer.
Close. To make call center workers sound white and American, no matter the country they're from.
I couldn't have even guessed that. Sorry, so it's Sorry to Bother You, the real life place.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Oh my God.
But with AI. And that's just the beginning of their grand plan. The voice tech company's website features a photo of a smiling man, cropped so you only see a disembodied toothy grin. Underneath the anonymous mouth, a demo invites you to, quote, hear the magic of Sanus. As you press play, you hear one side of a simulated conversation. A man with an Indian accent reads a familiarly tortured call center script about a missing package. Click the With Sanas slider, and the voice transforms instantly into something slightly robotic, a tad uncanny, and unmistakably white.
Oh, wait, do you have an audio of it?
Ooh, that's okay. It's on the website. We got to see this.
Oh, please, 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 please. If you can find it.
Hold on.
If not, I will just delete this part.
Yeah. Hear the magic. Okay, here's without Sanus.
Hi, this is Alex from the customer service aid. How are you today? Great to hear. I'm doing very well. Thank you very much, Sanus.
Are you ready?
So how can I help you today? I'm so sorry about that. I'll be glad to help you. Can I get your full name, phone number, and address to check in on that order?
Way better.
Do you happen to have the order number so I can bring up your order?
Thank you.
Let me check on the status of your order. Give me a minute to check on that.
This it is sounds just like my dad! He sounds like us!
This is... I trust!
I trust! Thank God! Sound like white me! Oh,
sounds like white me.
This is just white chicks, the startup.
This is the most insane. I love this. Like,
their website,
I love this
should just
so
be,
much.
Should be Dave Chappelle and his like white guy makeup.
Oh, God. I love it.
Since its August 2021 launch, Santa says,
"Don't you call me motherfuck chode. Don't you motherfuck chode. Fuck you, motherfuck." But just like complete American accent.
Santa's has been showered with funding by investors. Amid a trying time for the tech industry, the Accent Translation Company, founded by three former Stanford students, of course, snagged a $32 million Series A funding round in June 2022, which they claim is the largest ever for a speech technology service.
Oh, God. Oh, what are we doing? We're fucking up because we aren't just pitching ideas to venture capital funds, dude.
Yeah.
I could have thought of this.
Yeah, but did you go to Stanford?
Oh, fuck. I've been in Stanford.
Well,
I used to work at the farmer's market outside Stanford.
Well, there we go.
Stanford.
Excuse
fuck
me, sir.
You, motherfuck. Fuck
wouldn't you?
Chaiwala.
How much would you pay for this tomato if I was whiter?
So sorry about your package.
God. I think it'd be funny to like, this is the app I would develop. It would be like,
it's Roomba for feeding dogs. No, sorry.
That's actually pretty good.
No, mine is every time someone uses their phone, it just gets a little bit hotter. And then it lights on fire one day.
Epic pranks.
That sounds good.
Epic pranks. And you can put it in someone else's phone.
Oh.
Like it gaslights them before it lights them on fire.
I like that. It keeps calling the wrong numbers on purpose. God, this is so fucking stupid that I'm almost impressed. Like I'm literally impressed because
well,
the
it's
idea.
It's great because it's like, you know, they how they say like the way to make money in a gold rush is not by digging for gold, but selling pitchforks and shovels.
Yes.
Not pitchforks, but pickaxes and shovels.
Pickaxes
this is like,
and shovels.
This is like that for grifting where it's like, okay, what if you didn't do the scam where you tried to get someone's social security card over the phone. What if you sell the technology to make that person sound white?
I love it so much. It's like the generalized assumption there is that when you call a call center trying to get your package returned, that if you hear an Indian voice, you're just like, Jesus Christ. Well, who are when it's like that is not it is literally just to be like, yes, I work for Microsoft. Give me your social security number. Like this is so
I am a technician from Apple.
This is on the level of like the Wire people, like that phone company that just sold burners to drug dealers. Like it's like we know what you're doing here. And you're supposed to be, may I have remote access to your computer? Very good. I did not kick your dog.
We don't want to say that accents are a problem because you have one, Santa's president Marty Sarum told
We
SF
don't
want to
say that, all right? At least not with a weirdo accent.
We're not saying it.
Yeah.
We would never say that.
We would
somebody
never. Somebody else says that, and I think a lot of us think it.
We don't think it.
Well, not us.
I don't want to say that you're going to bring the property values down in the neighborhood,
no,
but the market
I would
decides.
Never say that. Exactly.
I'm not saying that you're too fat for a comedy special, but other people might say that.
I've heard around the water cooler talk that you might be a fat piece of shit.
I would never. I'm
never,
not saying
ever.
That.
I'm not in saying fact, that's I'm a against problem. People who think like that. I've donated to Pete Buttigieg.
I'm merely reporting that the president of the network was wearing a No Fat Chicks t-shirt the last time we hung out. And
it seemed clear to me.
I'm being a friend by telling you that.
Yes. But I don't think that. I think you're beautiful just the way your fat body is.
With that said, please don't tell anyone I was talking to you.
Exactly. And if you could just forget my phone number. Thank you.
I filed a restraining order. Yeah.
They're only a problem because they cause bias and they cause misunderstandings. The tacit promise of Santa seems to be that callers will be more polite and more amenable to being helped if they think the person on the other end is more like them. Yeah, that's good. I feel like that's my new favorite startup for the week.
Oh yeah, 100%. Startup of the week. Sorry to bother you call center being real.
You know what I would invest in? I would invest in a startup that has like a translator app that it keeps the people in tech support from saying they understand my problem and how frustrating that could be. Like if it just was an AI that skips all that and makes the call last a third as long and just focuses on the thing where they help me.
Yeah, I like that. That's a good idea for a startup. I'm thinking a startup.
Well, hello there,
like...
sir. We thank you for being a loyal customer, and I understand how frustrating it is to not have internet access.
Yeah.
May I call you by your first name?
I know how frustrating it is to not be called by your first name.
Yeah.
I know how frustrating it is for you to hear a non-white accent over the phone.
Yes. I do not want to spark rage within you by speaking with an accent. So I assure you, I am white, Christian, and very straight. Very straight. They should make a startup that's like glasses that you put on so that so you only see white people.
It's like the They Live glasses.
Yeah, it's the They Live glasses, but you just see white people so that every time, like... some unarmed black man gets killed by the cops, but you have your glasses on and you go like, oh my God, this is terrible.
What if finally... we get those glasses to the cops?
Oh shit. Damn. Startup
well, see,
idea.
If everybody had glasses. That, if everybody in the hood had that AI that just turned them white, think about it. Dude.
Think about it, dude. That would be crazy. Finally, we solve racism by fucking just by surrendering to it. I love it. Yeah. I love it.
What if we just give in to racism completely?
Completely. Just be like, you know what? It is what it is. Time for everyone to paint themselves white with technology. It's a good idea.
Thank you for waiting. It looks like your order shipped to the wrong address. I'm so sorry about the mix-up. Let me see what we can do about correcting your order.
Correcting your order?
It looks like your order shipped to the wrong address. I'm so sorry about the mix-up. Let's see what I can do about correcting your
Please give me your social security number and your mother's maiden name. Just the idea of it, like, accidentally failing, and you're just like, oh, I thought I was talking to a white guy! What the fuck?
Like wait, what was that I heard?
Yeah.
You sounded funny for a second.
Have you ever
Did you just say Chaiwala? These are things the only Hindi I know is from the movie Slumdog Millionaire. I'm sorry.
A while back I was in a tow truck. I was getting my car towed and I'm in the tow truck cab with the tow truck driver. And he's like talking on speakerphone and he gets a call that's very clearly like a robocall. From someone who's like telling you there's like a problem with your taxes or some shit. And he's like having a 5-minute conversation with this thing that's very clearly not a person. It's at that point you realize like 80% of the population over the age of 60 is just like completely ill-equipped to deal.
They can't. I know.
The level of scams that are happening right now.
I know. It's funny. Francesca was telling me about her dad and stepmom, they have a new email address every 2 years because some cable company will call them up and convince them to switch. And so they have like there it's like Comcast.net, SBCGlobal.com, DirectTV.com. Like every time it always changes. They're like, well, we have to change our email addresses, so let's fucking do it. They just like they can't. They don't understand the predatory nature of phone calls at this point.
Or
the
they're still
operating just for predators.
And they're still operating under the assumption that like you could just switch to an unlisted phone number and you'll be safe for a while.
Yes. I have to pee so bad. I'll be right back. I'll be right back.
Okay.
Keep recording. All right.
Okay.
Finally.
Yeah, he's gone. Now we can talk about like funny stuff.
He's just a sweet guy and a really big supporter of large women.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. There's poems about large women. I like that.
Leonard.
I feel like those are poems that should probably be folk songs, but he never bothered to like learn to play guitar or sing.
What are you guys talking about?
Jessica was reading me Leonard Nimoy's poetry.
Oh, nice. Speaking of Holocaust survivors. Was he a Holocaust survivor?
I don't know.
That's the first I've heard.
I mean, I know.
He seems a little... I guess he would have been a child.
Right. Are you a Holocaust survivor just because you were Jewish and in Europe at the time of the Holocaust? Or do you need to actually have been in a camp?
I don't know.
That's a good question. I mean...
I'm saying unless you if you don't have like the little tattoo on your forearm, it doesn't count.
Yeah, that feels like that is
it's like
the
a
requirement.
Yeah, if you're a Hell's Angel, like you have to have the jacket, you know.
Okay, this is amazing.
Okay,
Leonard Nimoy did this thing called the Full Body Project, and it was just like photographs
of
large
dick.
Women.
Oh hell yeah!
And
nice.
Who are these women? Why are they in these pictures? What are their lives about? How do they feel about themselves? These are some of the questions I wanted to raise through the images in this collection. God, I love Leonard Nimoy for this. He just is all about, he's the opposite of that New York Times person. He's just like the more titties the better.
I love the idea that Leonard Nimoy is like he looks like the skinny guy who likes fat chicks, you know what I mean?
I love that.
He looks like you know, he's got that the same vibe of like Adam Driver, you know, fucking Lena Dunham like a stuck pig.
Have you guys seen that
I don't think that's how you usually use that simile, but I like what you did with it.
Yeah, no, I like a stuck pig just being someone who's fucked. I'm sorry, what were you saying?
There's an image of Kermit fucking Miss Piggy on the internet.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is just like one of my favorite images ever.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's just like on her back and her legs spread, and he's like over the top, just like. Yeah. It's so good.
Yeah. No, there's a type of guy. It's like a tall, lanky guy who likes bigger girls. And I feel like I never thought of Leonard Nimoy as that type, but he fits perfectly. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Just him just fondling big old
famous
natural titties.
Large women respecter.
Yeah. I respect large women too. Shit.
Do you?
I respect large women. I just happened to marry someone with the, you know, the...
Right.
Who's skinny like a bird.
Now, the only reason I'm questioning was the way you said, like a stuffed pig, maybe.
I said stuck pig. But I mean,
said,
you know...
You stuck pig?
Yeah, I used stuck pig. I used it wrong, you know what I mean? Just because I say that doesn't mean I also don't respect big women. I love big women. Big women.
You're getting canceled right now, buddy.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Right now.
Oh, no.
It's happening.
Joss Whedon over here.
It would be really funny to do a game show called You're Canceled.
Oh, I'm sure that exists at New York open mics. Positive of it.
It'd be cool if there was like noises and like you get slimed or something. Mm-hmm. And you like have to talk about a certain topic without getting canceled.
Yeah.
But you have no education about it.
Yeah, that's a really good idea.
It feels like Bill Burr is trying to play that game in every single one of his like new stand-up things. And I'm like, I don't think you have to try and play this game. Like, I think you could just.
But the great thing about Bill Burr doing it is he is a master at, I mean, I'll be real, I haven't seen his last special, so I'm just talking about the time he hosted Saturday Night Live, but he's a master at finding the really good angle that pits one.
Yes, that's kind of why I turned on
another one.
That's why I turned on his latest special, but then it was like that, but like not good. And it was just like,
sometimes I feel like he's like the master of that, where it's like, ooh, you found a good angle. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I'm like, this isn't that good of an angle.
Right.
I'm sorry. It's not that good.
It's just him. It's just you talking about a thing that I don't want to hear about anymore.
Yeah. Or it's like, you just found a way to talk about women and in like the way you really feel.
Right. Yeah. The angle has to be really solid in order for you to be like, damn, you know, that was great. But any less than perfection and you kind of go like, well, now you're just telling the same joke that everyone else does and says they're going to get canceled for.
I think he obviously is really good and has like a lot of really good jokes, but he's kind of got this clout at this point where people apply it to everything he says, where I'm like, I don't know that is.
Yeah. That one could have used a little more time in the oven, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I think maybe the pandemic also hurt comedy in that way, where like the specials that came out right after comedians did like a year and a half of not leaving testing things out at open mics and being on the road. And it's just like, this is sort of like a half baked, like rough draft of a joke and probably could have used some refining.
And also, it's like the other thing that hurt comedians is not going outside and like having a social life for a while means that the only things that you're going to talk about are things that everyone was talking about on the internet.
Yeah.
So you just are the fifth person, you know, in like 2 weeks, fifth stand-up comedian to have a special about CRT. And you're just like, right. Oh, God, what are we doing? And it's like, it doesn't even matter what side you're on in these like pseudo political, because like they're all kind of like, I'm not political, I'm just a dumb guy. Mm-hmm. And then the opinion is the opinion you heard a thousand times, whether it's like good or bad or whatever the fuck, but it's just like the subject
they're trying to do like from the mouths of babes takes as a 40-year-old man.
Yeah,
it's like, you can't really play that. You're not like an unfrozen caveman.
You're not allowed to be like, hey, you know, as a representative of just every man and a child.
like you can read now.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Like everyone has this ability to do a little research.
Resource. You need Samus.
Hey, yo, me too. You want to lick peanut butter off my asshole?
Everyone has the ability to read and resource.
Read and research, If you can re-resource and you can resource and I can re-resource, everyone can re-resource.
I'm sorry you're having this problem with your computer. I know how frustrating that can be.
Yes. I love it when I'm like trying to be all like everyone should read and then I have lost all of my language abilities.
Good stuff.
Well,
what else is happening in the news, man?
Well, I don't know about the news, but I think you watched, I watched that Dragon Show. I said I wasn't going to watch the Dragon Show.
Yeah.
And then I turned on the Dragon Show. And the very first shot was a fucking dragon. And I went, ugh. And then I watched the whole thing anyway.
I didn't watch it. I'm being strong.
That's good. I know honestly, that they did the thing that I made fun of all the Star Wars people, where it's like, now Yoda's a baby. Look at it. It's a cute Yoda baby. And they did basically like the exact same thing with Game of Thrones. But I still watched
it.
It's
the Night King.
Yeah,
it's baby Night King.
Baby Night King.
Oh, look at him. He's got a rattle, but it's just a very small ice spear, you know. I watched it. The only reason I watched it was because a few people who I follow on Twitter, who I respect their opinions, said, oh, it's actually kind of good.
Right.
And I was like,
that's kind of what happened to me. Because, like, in concept, it's bad. Like, they decided to do a prequel series about the Targaryens, which to me were always the corniest of any of the Game of Thrones houses. Like,
Sorry.
Like, they'll have the fucking white wigs, like they're elves from the Tolkien universe.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like they're like, what was the edgiest thing that people liked the most about like Game of Thrones? Like, and how can we put the most of that in there? And like, it's incest. So
totally. Yeah. They're like, okay, we definitely need to do the most incestuous family, but also one that rides the dragons. I did
incest and dragons. I mean, that's our bread and butter right there.
That's our bread and butter. Yeah. Ever since they made rape bad. I felt like it was, you know what it was? It was surprisingly mundane, but it was just interesting enough to like make me probably watch the second episode when it comes out.
You have a drama that comes down to like the medieval lines of succession,
right,
and there's a joust tournament, it's just like I can't not watch it.
I
found my weak spot.
Yeah, I mean, because I like fantasy shit in general, and I also, at the end of the day, no matter how bad that last season of Game of Thrones was and how it kind of ended on a pretty fucking shitty note, I feel like in general the show was well written and looks good, and you know, it's enjoyable. It's certainly more passable than most of the shit that comes out on streaming. So I enjoyed it from that aspect, but I did also realize that like a big thing that they're missing in the show is there's just no Peter Dinklage. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I can really hang with a show that doesn't have Peter Dinklage in it. And has dragons. Because like,
and they got like a main character who's like Khaleesi meets Arya Stark, but but not as identifiable in some way. Like kind of like,
yeah, because she's still the queen, you know, and so, or like future, she's a princess, so she's still like royalty.
They sanded off the rough edges of those characters and made it more like the reason they made it more the thing that it was a reaction to in the beginning.
Right, and that's the thing, like for people who didn't like fantasy, I felt like Game of Thrones was a great show because you could, like, I remember Francesca was like averse to watching it. She's like, I don't give a shit about dragons and kings and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just not my bag. And that's like for a lot of people, I think. And then when we watched Game of Thrones, she was like, oh, this is fucking great. You know, because it's not really that kind of show.
Yeah, the way I always described it was it's more just like a medieval show, like told from the mindset of how they would actually be thinking then, which is like involves like a certain amount of like magic and like supernatural shit.
Right. But also like just
like they would believe in witches and fucking mad and dragons and shit back then.
Right. But also like mostly like horny driven, like a horny driven show about fucking where dragons and magic exists. Like I felt like watching Game of Thrones was just like watching a really, really like a simperingly horny nerd, a simpering horny nerd just writing like mid edging. That's what it felt like. Like a lot of backed up cum. Uh-huh. And there's something about that where you're just like, I feel it's like your id a little bit. Your middle
school. Well, I also think
id.
I think it was good for a lot of the same reasons that The Wire is good, where it's like, it's not told from the perspective of the most moral and most righteous character wins. It's
right.
It's told from the perspective of like, yeah, the most moral and righteous character is going to get their head chopped off in this
right,
universe.
Right, right,
right. I listened to some podcast and they had, it's called Imaginary Worlds. Have you guys ever listened to that?
Mm-mm.
No.
I didn't know there were like other podcasts.
but he had a political science person on, and he said that Game of Thrones was like the most accurate, like in terms of like the way politics works.
Oh yeah, I mean, like, yes. Watching it, you can like, there's a lot of Easter eggs for like medieval history nerds. Like, it's a lot.
Well, like
of,
even now, he was saying like Khaleesi would kind of like, if you put her in modern times, like she'd actually be like kind of a neoconservative. Like she's kind of a George. She's kind of a George Bush, actually.
Right.
She's
yeah.
Like, she's like appealing to like, she's, oh, we're gonna like, make the world a good place.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah. She's like a. She's like, yeah, a neocon. I like that. Yeah, she would be that. That is true. And then, you know, just like gets really mad and burns everything to the ground. she's every like right wing dude's fear of a woman in charge, which is like they're going
to
be on their
period.
Which
is why they had to have her lose her shit at the end.
Right, exactly. Which is one of the most amazingly stupid choices that I think has ever been made in TV history. Was
I
just
think that
like,
was the most upset I've ever been watching a show.
Yes.
I was like, so like, I almost felt like I'd been through a trauma.
Dude, because Francesca feels this exact same way. And I'm like,
you're not wrong. I watched it at my friend's house and she had gone to sleep and I like watched it on my computer because I was out of town. And I just remember like being like, after watching it, like, can I wake my friend up? Or like, and I just like woke up in the morning and she was like, I made coffee. And I was like, I did not have a good night, dude.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like at the end there, they were stuck. Like, they had to have sort of a heel turn for her just because otherwise she's like, yeah. Oh, she's like strong women, girl boss rules the world.
Right. No, they character. Needed to have something like that.
And so,
yeah.
and so they needed to have some sort of heel turn, but then the heel turn they chose was like, what if the dragon was like her feminine hysteria or like her period comes and then,
yeah, that was
and
exactly
then she just
wrecked.
And like, and when we're talking about like finding an angle, I feel like George R. R. Martin probably would have found an angle there, but
he was gone
by that point and no one was there to find an angle.
Yes. That's the whole thing, is like, it's the choices that were made didn't have an angle. The angle ended up being just kind of like the most, I don't know, like boilerplate, like almost like a paint by numbers. Yeah. You know, women, then Jon Snow doesn't want to fuck her anymore because they're related. Then she's just like, oh, I guess I'll just kill everybody. And yeah. It's just like, well, no, you have to
and
give her a
like
real reason.
Just fuck your wives, by the way.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
like, just, I know that they're like more familiar to you now and they might like not feel like as hot and strangery as they did before.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you're nervous around her dragons. Mm-hmm. But like, just fuck your wives and then write a real story for Daenerys.
Yeah. Yeah. No, totally. It was done in the worst way possible. An ending that could have been, I think, you know, it wouldn't have been satisfying no matter what, I think. It's just like impossible to please everyone.
Yeah.
But it was almost they chose the worst possible one.
I mean,
which is one of the reasons I didn't want to watch the show, because I was like, fuck you.
Right. Well, I mean, the entire concept is sort of built around refuting the idea that the arc of the universe bends towards justice or whatever.
Justice.
Like,
yes,
the idea,
right.
Which is, and so like in going against that, you're basically saying that there is no end point of history. Like, there is no,
right.
Like, we're not living at any sort of pinnacle of world events. Mm-hmm. Like, things just happen and time goes on and they change. And so like the idea of that sort of cuts directly against all the things that you would need to have like a cathartic ending.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, which I still think they could have done it. In the way that, like, the Sopranos, like, if it had ended with that scene of Pauly fucking sunning himself in front of Satrials while he tries to shoo the cat away that he thinks is the ghost of Christopher. Like, that's a great ending because it doesn't really end, but it's like...
You gotta get kind of poetic with it. Yes. And like, right. And, like, kind of be in the moment in terms of, like, just have, like, this reflective moment where we can just, like, kind of, like, I don't know, like...
You can take a breath and step back and be like, oh, that was, you know, the tap, you know.
I like independent movies that don't really have an end, but like just like the guy like gets on his bike and bikes really hard or whatever.
Right.
And
then
watch him on
roll.
A bike. And it's
or Timothée Chalamet like sort of cries.
Staring sexily into the fire.
Stares sexily into the distance thinking about how he fucked that peach.
He fucked it and then the dude ate it.
That was a hot movie, though.
It was, 100%.
For sure.
Maybe the hottest movie I've seen.
Yeah. But no, I mean, honestly, they would have done better to just actually have the White Walkers, like, literally kill everybody and win, and then that's the end. That, like, I would have been like, yeah, that's right. That's true. Because at the end of the day, the White Walkers are just this, you know... I don't know if it's a climate change allegory, but it's the allegory of like universal doom, that uncontrolled fucking natural or unnatural doom is going to kill everybody. And that's fine. It's better than being like, okay, so Bran's going to show up and he's the king now. Jon Snow's going to go hang out with the White Walkers. Arya's sailing, I think.
Brienne of Tarth is straight now.
Yeah, Brienne of Tarth is straight because I think that's more holy. And it was just like they tried to like find a middle ground and failed miserably. Kind of like the Biden $10,000 thing, you know? Perfect.
I do think that this is why I haven't watched the new one and why I think I'm going to try not to. I'm pretty mad. I'm mad and I am sad. what if Daenerys snapped, right? But like instead of fire everyone in the whole city, she just flew up and flamed Cersei.
Right.
In a really shitty way. And then Jaime came in and held Cersei and they flamed together. And then we'd be like, no, we like Jaime too. Now we feel complicated.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That would have been an okay heel turn where it's just like.
Mm-hmm. She does like one more murder, you know, just
and
like.
Then, and we could have done some kind of hot stuff with Jon Snow where then like she's like pretty predatory towards him and starts threatening him if he doesn't have sex with her. Now that.
Yeah. I mean, it should have just been like actually give Daenerys the arc that you've been
the arc
hinting
of the
at
covenant.
This whole time. No, the arc they were hinting at the whole time is that like she wants to be queen, but she also is like trying to like help the world, she claims. So give her a choice. She either has to help the world by defeating the White Walkers and therefore dying, but saving the world, or she chooses the power of the throne. Like they instead, they didn't do any of that. They just were like, no, we got to make it so that if you kill Night King, everybody die too. Cause then, when no more Night King, then everybody die. Like if that were the case, why is the Night King on the front lines fighting? He should just be hanging in the back in the north, you know, fucking just being like, I got to make sure I don't die because if I die, then everyone dies. Stupid. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to relitigate the Game of Thrones ending, but I will say
we have trauma.
New,
we need to work through it.
We do. The new dragon show, it's like it's watchable and I enjoyed it.
Watchable, I would say.
Yeah. Although I didn't like necessarily find myself laughing at any moment, which is I think a really important part of why I liked Game of Thrones is that it's also really funny, and they didn't do that, so
I'm kind of we'll nervous see. About the Tolkien stuff.
Me too.
I'm nervous because Jeff Bezos, some of it looks pretty corny. But then
I mean, are you thinking of watching that?
I mean, well, yeah, I have to look at. I got this nice
Is that a porn book?
Beautiful pornographic.
Lord of the Rings porn.
And it
dude.
Has a map on the inside. But and mm-hmm. I've been looking forward to the series because
you
I'm like,
you shall not come on my face.
I've been looking.
Ooh, Saruman, put it in my butt.
Horny Gandalf.
Okay, character. Yeah.
Oh my
yeah.
God, this is dusty as fuck though. But yeah, I have to watch it, but I know it's gonna be painful. And it's like when the Hobbit movie came out, I was really excited for that. And I yeah, was I like a lot younger and more naive, and I was going through a breakup, and it was my birthday time. And then my friends went with me to, and I was like, will you guys come with me to see the Hobbit movie? But they're like cool girls. So they were like, yeah, sure. And then I was like, I love the Hobbit. I've been looking forward to this for so long. Cause it used to be every year on my birthday, I went to see the Lord of the Rings movies. Uh-huh. And now I get to restart that tradition again.
Right.
And then I was in the theater, like just being like, oh, this is the one thing that's going to help me get through this devastating breakup.
Then they made it sucky.
It was really bad. And my friends were laughing and like joking around. And I was just like so heartbroken. Yeah. Just like devastated. I wasn't as mad as Game of Thrones, though. I was more just sad. I was like, oh, they didn't do a good job. But the Game of Thrones one, I was like, you guys really were trying to do something. And it didn't. It was like irresponsible somehow. Like it was like.
It was fucked up.
You had all of our hearts, you know, and you're a storyteller. And it's like, yeah, you're trying to say something about the world works. And I get that. And you're going to kill off characters we love. I get that. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, the Red Wedding was like, oh, that was devastating. But it wasn't like, what?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, it was like, yeah, like that. That's this show is intense. These stories are intense. But like. It is like you can't just you gotta care about your people watching. You can't be like, well, that's the story. I'm sorry, Daenerys was crazy.
Yeah, what can I say? The bitches be like that sometimes. Hold on, I got another one.
The black cock shall not avail you, flame of Udun.
That's cool. Him talking about black cocks.
Oh, I get it. Yeah, that's good.
Fuck me, you fool.
Gandalf the Horny. New character on the Film Drunk Broadcast. Does anyone like it?
Yeah, I like that. I think you I think you'd one up to Sly Stallone.
Oh good.
Yeah.
I think so too.
Yeah. So I don't know. Solid B+ show.
I mean, honestly, the solidest of B+. They did. Yeah. It was a nice throwback to Game of Thrones in that while I was watching it, I was like, God damn, why is my TV so fucking dark? All of a sudden, I feel like I got the brightness turned up all the way and I still can't see shit. And I feel like I haven't had that experience since the original Game of Thrones.
Obi-Wan show was like that.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't watch it. It got so many bad reviews. I just couldn't.
It was bad, but I just like coasted on Ewan McGregor's face the whole way, dude.
Oh, wow.
I just like slid on his voice. Like, I don't even remember the show, but I just watched the whole thing. Like, yeah.
So it was just like, he's just hot.
Yeah. I think Ewan McGregor's hot though. You guys agree?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, sure. I think he's like one of the hottest people in the world, especially as he's gotten older.
Totally. And it's just like, you know, you have the history of him like being in Moulin Rouge and shit. Mm-hmm. And he's just like, was so romantic, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I hated that movie, but I still thought he was hot in that movie.
Oh, I love that movie so much. I watched it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Look to my coming at first light on the fifth day. I will come on your face.
It's cool.
Getting off the horn.
You did it again. I didn't think you could top yourself, but here we are.
Here we are. Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's been a pod.
I will not say do not come, for not all come is evil.
All right. That's been a pod. I'm sorry. I just like what, you know, I just, you know, there's so many great quotes, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, like not even
a
the
period is never late, Frodo Baggins. Nor is a period early. A period arrives exactly when it's. All right, I'm done.
Not yeah, all those who come are horny.
Tell me, Saruman, when did Saruman the Wise abandon reason for madness? Suck my dick. Gotta go.
You just tanked it all.
He flew off on the back of a giant eagle. It was crazy.
Yeah. Hey.
Flame of Odun.
All right, guys. Jessica Seely, thank you so much for coming back on the Frogcast.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure to just not know what's going on or not know about like shitty new startups and then to come on here
and then I tell you about the terrible things.
Just like get to know really just how shitty everything is.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
So thanks for having me.
Happy to do that for you.
Yeah.
Where can people find you on the internet?
If you're like on any sort of Instagram or TikTok, it'll be at Jessica Seely. Twitter's at J Seely.
Check it out. Jessica Seely on all of the social media platforms. Frogcast@gmail.com for all of your questions, comments, and concerns. Patreon.com/Frogcast for the Patreon bonus episodes. That's us talking about, well, it's this. This is what you're listening to. Vince, what is the Google Voice number?
415-275-0030. Again, you guys are slacking on the voicemails, and we miss hearing from you.
Do it. Jessica, that was a great face.
I was trying to do Quasimodo.
It worked. All right, everyone. Thanks again so much for listening. And until next time, good night and eat the beans. Gandalf.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.